Good evening, everybody. Last night we counted the 31st night of the Omer. I usually have an easier time remembering the night of the Omer when it's associated with the famous baseball player that I grew up with. What famous baseball player was number 31? If you grew up in Queens, New York in the 1990s?
31 was Butch Mack. Not Keith Hernandez?
No. Mike Piazza. So Mike Piazza was 31.
Dodger.
So he was traded. It was a big trade. It was Erev Shabbos, by the way.
He got his number back, right?
Very good. The good Pekias. It was a big hack that Friday when we go to shul here. Mets got Mike Piazza. I was actually a Yankees fan, but I still have loyalty to my Queens homeland. And, because the Yankees won, I was able to also be loyal to the Mets. And I didn't hate the Mets as much as Mets fans hated the Yankees. But anyway, we counted 31 last night. And in this week's Parsha, we're going to be learning with the Mo'adim. Parsha Emor, by the way, my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. And obviously, Lag Ba'Omer will be coming up. So the question of the evening is Lag Ba'Omer a holiday? Funny question. So let's start with the classical sources, and then we'll open up into a conversation.
Kitzas, right.
Oh, very good. There is like a quasi-Yom Tov status that AB is already quoting. So very good. So let's learn the Parsha, and we'll learn Halacha. So what does the Torah say? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe le'emor, daber el b'nei Yisrael v'matel lehem. So Moshe speak to the Jews and tell them, Mo'adei Hashem esher tigros emagrei kodesh elei mo'adai. Tell them about the Mo'adim. This is a very, very important Parsha where we literally learn about the mitzvot of all of the Mo'adim. And, it's interesting that Shabbos is on the list. Like, that's an interesting discussion. Why is Shabbos counted with the Mo'adim? What's the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov? But I'm using it not as a joke, but almost to point out that there are things that are holidays and there are things that are not holidays. So Lag Ba'Omer, but obviously, is not in the Parsha. And the question is, so what are we able to include in this Jewish calendar that is not in Parshas Emor? Obviously, there are Dinei Derabbanan, so we have Chanukah and Purim. And the question is going to be, well, what about Lag Ba'Omer? So, obviously, Lag Ba'Omer is not in the biblical, it's not in the Torah. Yet in the Shulchan Aruch, we have halachos about Lag Ba'Omer, right? So no hagim shaloli stop here on Lag Ba'Omer. So the haircuts are usher until the 33rd day of the Omer. Sheomrim sha'az pasku milamu. So that we assume that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying around Lag Ba'Omer or on Lag Ba'Omer. Okay, now the Shulchan Aruch rules, but that doesn't mean you can get a haircut on Lag Ba'Omer itself. Svardi practice is to wait until Lamed Dalid Babokir. Now this year, Lama Dalid of the Omer falls out on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch himself says that Ela Imkein Chalag Omer Erev Shabbos. So this year is a unique halachic reality. Whereas normally Ashkenazim get their haircuts on Lag Omer and Sephardim get their haircuts on Lama Dalid Omer. But here, since Lama Dalid Omer falls out on Shabbos, even Sephardim are makil to get their haircuts a day early. Sha'az mistaprin bo mitnei kavod Shabbos. So this coming Friday is the day to be a barber, not only for Ashkenazim, but even for Sephardim. So that's halacha number one of eating. Stuart, great to see you. Welcome. And the Rama points out, again, he disagrees, again, with the Shulchan Aruch, that we don't wait till Lamed Dalet Ba'Omer. Rather, we get haircuts on Lamed Gimel Ba'Omer. That's this Friday. And even if it was not a Friday, Ashkenazim get a haircut already on Lamed Gimel Ba'Boker. And here's the key line underlined in the Shulchan Aruch here in the Rambah. Umar bimbo k'tzas simcha. On Lag Ba'Omer, we should increase a little bit of happiness. Ve'ein omrim bo tachan. So would you call that a holiday? Not a holiday? It's an interesting thing. There is a little bit of simcha, and we don't say tachana. Now, seemingly, those are two separate things. Number one, increase simcha, and number two, don't say tachana. Right? And how would you increase the simcha, by the way? Well, usually we increase simcha via wine or basar, right? Or food. There's a formal celebration. But it's not so clear that there's any guideline as to how to do that.
There's no
suda slag for Omer. So it's a little bit unclear what the Ksas Simcha is. unless you understand that no, the simcha is just the nature of the day, and the only practical manifestation of that simcha is the lack of tachanun, because it's a happier day, therefore we don't say tachanun. But it's not actually anything more than that. It's just the lack of tachanun.
No, you don't say tachanun on Rosh Chodesh and Shavuot either.
Very good.
And you don't say tachanun on Shlosh Yisrei Hagbolah.
Very good.
So by saying marvin bel ksas simcha, it's mashma that he's implying that you make weddings on it.
Amy's saying that. Not saying tachanun does not automatically have any connection to simcha, because there are many days where we don't say tachanun, and we don't assume that those days are days of simcha. So, i.e., this is a day where you can make weddings, or seemingly, I think what AB is implying also is that if you don't have a wedding to make, you should try to do something. You should try to do something. I say have an extra piece of cake or whatever, you know. But it's a fascinating line of Ramah, and it requires explanation. Okay, so again, we point out that we don't get a haircut until Friday, not Thursday night. All right, should be noted, technically speaking, you know, even though Thursday night is already going to be the 33rd day of the Omer, we wait till the daytime.
Not a fair of Shabbos. We're allowed to Thursday.
So very good. So Mishnah Berurah does quote an opinion that if Lamed Gimel the Omer falls out on Friday and it's urgent, so already you can be Makel on Thursday night. And the Mishnah Berurah also does quote people who are totally Makel on Thursday night. And this is actually the justification for the Hasidim. Besides for, again, regardless of what the Hasidim Shemin Hagim, but even within the Litvish circles, I mean, the Mishnah Berurah already does quote, you know, the other opinion that already by nighttime, you know, the Sphira restrictions are waived because of Lag BaOmer. But it's generally assumed that we wait until the daytime. And certainly, you know, this time of year where Shabbat starts so late, you know, you'd have to find a unique situation where it's so hard to get a haircut on Friday that you need to already get it on Thursday night. But, you know, again, I can understand it. You go to work all day, you need a haircut Thursday night, or else you're not going to make it in time. You know, I could get it. But before we try to answer the question, it's important to try to really enhance the question. What is the simcha? And the Pri Chadash is going to be the star of the evening. Pri Chadash asks, what is the simcha? I don't understand. It says tema. It's underlined in the top line. The achshav nagu bezeh laharbos b'simcha b'shelo lomer tachanun. Okay, so now that we have the following issue, we have simcha, we don't say tachanun. Yeah, what's the Shulchan Aruch's rule? Ba'afa b'yikain ein mistapin el adlam adalit. So it doesn't add up, because they only allow haircuts in the Shulchan Aruch on the 34th day of the Omer. So what's the 33rd day of the Omer? It's just the day where we don't say tachanun. So year it's hard to disaster, meaning if the 33rd day of the Omer is already happy, so already get haircuts. And if you don't get a haircut until the 34th day of the Omer, so you should say tachanun still on the 33rd day of the Omer. So the Pri Chadash doesn't appreciate this quasi status of Lag BaOmer. It's like we're still not getting haircuts, yet we're already not saying tachanun. Like, what's the deal? And
the Harbor doesn't say Marvin Buksa Simcha.
And
he doesn't say tachanun. It's only the Ramah.
Very good. So the Pri Chadash is pointing out that his minhag. The minhag fell. Yeah, and that wasn't the Ramah. Oh, that's right. The minhag came out awkward, where people were not getting haircuts until 34, yet they were already celebrating something on the 33rd. And he says, furthermore, like, what is the simcha? What, that people stop dying? Is that a reason to celebrate? He says, mabekach. He says, in the middle of the second to last line, hare lo nishir echad mehem b'kula mesu. So the casualties were still the casualties. Uma tiba shel simcha zu. Wow, what a bold question. Namely, 24,000 people died. Would you celebrate the conclusion of their death? Whoa. Now, the truth is, I had the same question as the Pri Chadash once upon a time. And only this year did I appreciate the concept of people stopping to die. Because of COVID-19, I actually, Baruch Hashem, Kvanti, the Pri Chadash, I was like, who cares that they stopped dying? I was going over the halachas this year. And I'm like, why is that a reason to celebrate? So they stopped dying. But the Maisa, there was a tremendous casualty there to mourn over. And then I thought, because of COVID-19, like, no. When there is a pandemic and there's tremendous, you know, illness in the world and people stop dying, that is a reason to celebrate. Well, you're celebrating.
The Gezeira is over.
Right, the Gezeira is over, and you could appreciate.
But the real answer, the lesson is that they don't know if we covered that with that.
Yeah.
That's a code word for the war with over.
The Shema.
The Shema in the war with
over. Right, so Adam's, or Adam's quoting the secret answer. Again, it is legitimate. I don't know exactly all the Torah behind it, that there are those who argue that the reason that the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died was not because it was a divine decree, because of their bat midos. Rather, it was a divine decree, and there was a shas hashmad. There was tremendous persecution towards the Jewish people. Rav Shechter brings that down in one of his farm. I only learned that. Like, it's out there.
It's based on
the
one earlier story.
Yeah, it's out
the
there.
You can't write the Gemara that the Romans persecuted us.
So yeah, censorship issues. Yeah, I've heard that before as well. But this is the question of the Pre-Chadash, and I thought, interestingly, you know, just having lived through the past year, I actually was like able to answer the Pre-Chadash question. Like, actually, it's very nice when people stop dying, you can look to the future ahead. And that is actually what the Pre-Chadash says, that the celebration is about looking to the future, but not on a health level, but rather, in the underlined, he writes, "V'efshar shasimchi al osam talmidim shehosev acharka," right, the beautiful reality was that despite the fact that Rabbi Akiva lost 24,000 students, he had five remaining students that he started teaching. And because of those five Talmidim, the Torah Shebaal Peh survived. Rabbi Akiva Shalom Mesu Ke'elu. So we celebrate the fact that we were not annihilated and that the Torah Shebaal Peh was not wiped out. Meaning, imagine the Torah Shebaal Peh literally coming to a halt because all of the rabbis and the educators died. Literally, Masorah Shebaal Peh would have died. There's a beautiful B'chadash who points out that the celebration of Lag BaOmer is a celebration of the continual nature, the continuity of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and the fact that the Torah has always survived, right? There, you know, that's how Rav Malamed and the Pinyan Halachi pointed me to that pre-Chadash. Obviously, Stuart Rubin in the chat, Mike, already writes a dissertation on the thing that we just spoke about. Very good. So, the Stuart writes, the term Hashmad is used in the Spanish version of the Igaret of Shergon. So that's the makor for that concept that the Talmidim of Akiva died b'shma. All right, so Avi Stuart Rubin would be holding in that. Stuart, we thank you for being consistently brilliant, and we cheer you on. We continue to support your brilliance, Haslacha, in writing whatever dissertations you continue to work on. Very good, Stuart. All right, now let's go on. All right, there is an Aruch HaShulchan. So until now, we've only spoken about Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, and the cause for celebration is the stopping of the deaths, and the Pre-Chadash has a nice little Chiddush there. But now the Aruch HaShulchan is always the man. He always knows the deal with like the community and the Minhagim. He is the first posek, so to speak, that talks about Rishon Bar Yochai. He says, okay. We point out that Lag BaOmer is actually, now here's the new term, it's underlined. Not like what the Ramah wrote, that it was what? It was Mikta Simcha. He writes a new term. Shemachzikin Hayom Hazeh Liktas Yom Tov. That is a bold term. Now, but he uses the word Ktsas. It's a little Yom Tov.
No hollow.
Right, meaning, what does that mean? It's Yom Tov, but it's a Ktsas Yom Tov. That's a funny term. Yom Tov is like a term in halacha. You can't just drop the term Yom Tov in halacha. But he modified the word Yom Tov by calling it a Ktsas Yom Tov. And he says, V'gam mincha shelefanav, meaning, i.e. tomorrow by mincha, we will not be saying tachanan, or at least most people anymore. V'regilin likroso hilula derashvi. Now we're talking, right? That Lag BaOmer, right? They call it the hilula, v'shamayachai, i.e. references your type. U'be'eret Yisrael marbin b'tfila u'be'alachas neiros. Al-Kuvaro HaKadosh, so people go to Meron, you know, they make the bonfire. The Omrim, we have a Mesorish and a Stalik Bayom Zed, that we have a tradition that Shem Bar Yochai passed away, as Yerzef is on Lag BaOmer, V'gam Yatsa Meham Me'ara Bayom Zed. And he also came out of the cave on Lag BaOmer. All right, now also, it's a famous daf in Mesachah Shabbos, daf Lamed Gimel, right? Lag of Mesachah Shabbos is the daf that tells the story of Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai in the cave. So what's interesting to me in this Aruch HaShulchan, number one is that he's embracing the whole Rav Shem Bar Yochai. It's not like a Hasidish Shemina. We're talking Aruch HaShulchan here. It's already in the poskim. And that would be another reason to celebrate Lag BaOmer. It has nothing to do with the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva here. We're celebrating Rav Shem Bar Yochai's Yahrzeit. And he's putting it on the books.
We have to celebrate it.
Oh, very good. Very, very good. So let's be super, not only, let's be misnagdish for a second. Misnagdish, let's be misnagdish. So people like to point out that number one, there's like, it's not so clear that Shimon Bar Yochai even died. Unlike Ba'omer, might be a toast. Sofrim, whatever. And even if he did die like Ba'omer, when in the blazes do we ever find a massive celebration where we're happy on the day that a tzaddik dies? Like that is not part of our general Mesorah, right? Meaning, you know, there's a concept of not saying Tachanun and Zainada. That's like a thing. But like, okay, so Hasidim. Yeah, most people, I think, do say Tachanun and Zainada. And TABC, Rabbi Jack once told me not to. But I think the mainstream minhag is that most Ashkenazi Jews do recite Tachanun and Zainada. But the whole concept is not a concept that we have been taught. It's not like a clear concept. And what is even more controversial is that we don't make up new holidays. And this is where there's a famous Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer, he was asked this question regarding going to Meiron on Lag BaOmer. And he starts his tshuva in Yoridei Simin Reish LaMegimah by saying, number one, I heard about the people in Tzvas on Lag BaOmer, Hilulu Derashbi. It should be noted, this has been going on for quite some time. You know, like, Aruch Shulcha, we're talking about 1700s, 1800s, right? Meaning people have been going to Meiron, you know, or, you know, near Tzvat on Lag BaOmer for quite some time.
Since the Ari's time.
Since the Ari's is already, wow.
16-something.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So he points out by saying, they're all L'Shem Shemayim, and they will be rewarded for this. They're dancing L'Shem Shemayim, and he references a Tosfos in the beginning of the fifth parak of Brachos. And I did look at the Tosfos in the beginning of the fifth parak of Brachos, and there's a reference to davening, b'simcha, and I'm assuming he's alluding to the concept of davening b'simcha. I guess that's what he's talking about, i.e. people are moving and they're shuckling towards Hashem, and it's a concept of tefillah. So I guess it's a kiyum in tefillah. It is, but that's also why I'm not going to go. There's a God too formal. Because of this, ani min haprushim, and he quotes a pre-chadash at the end of the paragraph. He says, like, the pre-chadash. What's the pre-chadash? I'll talk about it in a second. And then I skipped a lot of the tshuva. But at the end of the tshuva, he says, mikol makom asoso yom simcha v'hadlaka u'b'makom yadua dafka. Because it got too formal. That everyone knows there's a formal, like, procedure. You light a bonfire and you go to a specific location, which is, he calls it the tel talpiot, right? Like the mound that everyone looks to. Shakol nifnim l'sham lo yadati im rasha'im la'asos kein. What does that mean? I'm not sure if this is halachically permissible. Yikes.
Was it Sfira or towards the dead?
No, not he's saying adding a holiday. He's saying it's
for that.
He's saying it got too formal and it is against the Prichadash. And the Prichadash is Shita. Is that because the Gemara says that we no longer have what's called Megillas Tainus, we abolish the Megillas Tainus, that means we no longer have the authority to make new holidays. And, okay, but this is not a holiday, is it? So says the Chasam Sofer, well, I didn't think it was a holiday, but because there is a very specific form of celebration, namely, there's like a bonfire in Meiron, says the Chasam Sofer, I don't like that. It's too specific. Wow. And therefore, he's not sure if it's permissible. Now, again, it should be noted, he started by saying, people who go there are going to get rewarded. He's only explaining why he himself did not want to go. He was not on a rant saying, those people who go to Meiron, it's not, people like to exaggerate things. It's easier to always paint extreme pictures. Chasam Sofer says, I don't want to go because I'm not sure if it's permissible. Okay, but if you're the Chasam Sofer and you say such a thing, that's pretty bold. So does anyone want to justify the Minhag Klal Yisrael to say that it's not a holiday, despite the fact that there are minhagim of the day, but it's still not a holiday? How would you get around this issue? Because the pre-chadash is not allowed to make a holiday. So what's a holiday?
Not a holiday. A holiday would be a shvisa from malacha.
Oh, so there's no shvisa from malacha. So I'll tell you this. Would any Hasidic Rebbe punish a chassid of his for not going to Meiron on Lag BaOmer? You weren't Mekayim.
No, it's not an assay.
Right. So, obviously, we're not talking about Dinei Doraisa. We're not even talking about Dinei Derabanan. Meaning, imagine, I'm going to say a funny thing. Imagine a Jew in America not having a blue and white cookie on Yom Ha'atzmaut. And Rabbi Yudin calls him into his office, says, you know, we've heard some deviant behavior. Minhag American Jews is to have blue and white cookies on Yom Ha'atzmaut, and you have not fulfilled your annual kiyum. You know, what's up with that? You know, that's a ridiculous, it's a humorous thing, right? I think the basic answer to the Chasam Sofer's Haina is that no one's saying this is like a formal holiday. At the same time, the Chasam Sofer is saying, yeah, they are, because that's what they do. And it got too formal.
That's not what the Chasam Sofer is bothered by. The Chasam Sofer is bothered by if people make something formal, then they will believe that there is attached to it the necessity of making a kiyum.
Oh, very good. But he would also
be very upset with the Yom Ha'atzmaut parade or Yom Yerushalayim parade. He would be upset with any.
Right.
He would be upset with that.
So again, let's just go into for a second. There's a real sugya here. So I guess we should go to the back end of the sugya about making new holidays up in this religion, and it starts with Hanukkah, Purim, by the way.
Oh, that was the Rabbanan. A holiday.
So the question is, why the Rabbanan allowed to do that? You see the same violation.
Esther said.
Okay. So I think we have to figure that one out. Very good. So it should be noted that there is such a thing as making up a holiday. The Mishnah Berurah in two places speaks about a private Purim. He writes in Tar Pu, Tav Resh Pai Pei Vav. Yecholim b'nei ir l'takin b'askama u'b'cheirim aleim v'alabayim achoreim l'asos purim b'yom shenasa b'onis. Wow. Wow. That if there is a community, this has happened in history, that if a community suffered persecution and they were saved, they are allowed to declare a calendar date as a holiday and a personal purim.
Only for that community.
So for that community. And the Mishnah Berurah again in Reish Yud Ches, Sifkat Lamed Beis writes, Kasav Achronim, Mishanas Alonis. Let's say a miracle didn't happen to your whole community, but happened to you. Yeshul Lahafrish Staka. So you should give, Staka. And when you give it, you should say that this should be like a Korban Todah. I.e., if there was a basic Migdash, I would basically have to give a Korban Todah for God saving my life. And maybe even recite the Parsha of the Korban Todah. And there's a concept to kind of make this your day that you might want to contribute to a communal need. And he says, "If a chol shana b'yom zeh on this calendar date, yis bodei de lahodos l'Hashem yisbarach v'lesmoach u'lesaper chastem." And I've witnessed this with my own eyes, Rabbi Ari Waxman of Shalavim Shlita. So he has a personal date on the calendar that he celebrates because he was in a very, very real car accident, and there was a tremendous miracle that took place. And I remember the wafers that he gave out to us at Shalvim, celebrate his personal Yom Purim.
David Lipschitz, his grandson.
Yeah, David Lipschitz, his nephew, grandson.
Many years ago.
Very good.
Ari Waxman.
Wow. So Ari Waxman has kind of really been running Shalvim for like a few decades at this point. And he's awesome. And he also celebrates a personal date on the calendar.
But that's his day, or it's his city date, but not the valley
day. Oh, very good. So Adam Alamdan nails it right away. These two Makoros are not speaking of all of Klal Yisrael, right? So the issue is, there's a Meseches Rosh Hashanah Yechas Mebeis. We hear it is on the books. There was which Rebbeim were, I forget, I don't know if I put the old Gemara, which is the name. There were two Rebbeim, right? There was a certain government edict that they were able to overrule. They were afraid that Hashem's name, they basically wrote Hashem's name on certain documentations, and then they were afraid that it would lead to throwing Hashem's name out of the garbage. And when that rule was abolished and they were able to publish documents without having to write Hashem's name, they celebrated that there's a holiday. And the Gemara says, whoa, Megillas Tainus has been abolished. Kamaisa batul acharinisa mosifin. If all of the previous calendar dates that used to be celebrated in Megillas Tainus were abolished, we are no longer allowed to make new holidays. And this is a halachically binding line of Gemara. The Pri Chadash quotes this lahalacha. So the Pri Chadash was the star of the evening. So the Pri Chadash taught us earlier why we are happy on Lag BaOmer, because the Rabbi Akiva's students lived on. And now he's writing, we hold like this Gemara. He writes that we are not allowed to make new holidays. And he even has a line, even if it's just for a Yechidim, is whether it's for Yechidim or for a Rabim. Yee. So the Pichadish is Machmir. And the Malbim. Now again, the Malbim is not usually known for his halachic work. But in his Perish on Megillas Esther, he writes a halachic line. Because Purim, again, was a controversial holiday when it first started. He writes, in the beginning, it was not appropriate to make a new holiday. Because you're not allowed to make new holidays. And he says, do you know why Purim got off the ground? Because in the beginning, it was not for all of Klal Yisrael. It started only for the Prazim. Wow. Only for the small cities. And it, again, that's against who? It's against the Nesivos. But the Nesivos in his, what is his Perush on Esther called again? The Megillah Storm? Megillah Storm. When I gave the show, I know my small one time. So this is where Rav Shechter has a holy sod from the Nesivos that as long as your holiday is linked to the Binyan Beis Hamikdash or Geula, that's okay. Oh, and he was published this year in the Hamizrahi. Right. So he had to rewrite it up again. It's in the Big Bad Zone. The Big Bad Zone, 7 Lamed Beis. So again, my Prabha in Shomer Torah was this year, by the way. And I made sure to put an Israeli flag on the Mavorah sheet just so anyone would question my loyalty to Zionism because I gave both sides of the coin. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, I got the job and we were Marbish Torah that Shabbos. But either way, what's the concept? That any holiday that is beginning of Geula, so I, that includes Hanukkah also, by the way, because they did Hanukkah Sabayis by Hanukkah, and they did the Askal Geula by Sheni by Purim, and Rav Shechter's Chiddush by Yom HaTzmaut. You certainly can take this Askal Geula, and that's how we justify Yom HaTzmaut as a holiday, but the Chiddush there is that it's only a Rishus, not an obligation. I mean, you can't say anyone did anything wrong by not keeping Yom HaTzmaut. It's not like you can violate something. And the Chai Adam says, like Adam, that it's only usher to make a holiday for all of Klal Yisrael. For all of Klal Yisrael. So that's also another concept. All right, but again, there are a few different approaches. So all in all, what emerges here is that Lag BaOmer is this day that kind of falls between the cracks, and the reason the Chassan Sofer was not a fan of going to Meiron was because it was against the Pri Chadash. And we just brought a slew of the halacha justifications where, again, it's only a problem if it's maybe for all of Klal Yisrael, like the Chai Adam. So this is all for all of Klal Yisrael, so maybe the Chai Adam wouldn't like it. Right? And when the Mishmur also, again, he said, a Yachid are only a specific community. It's not linked to Geula, right? So how do we get around Lag BaOmer?
We don't. The Kiyum is in Meron. If I call it a Kiyum. There's no Kiyum of a bonfire in a kutzlar. It's only in Meron.
Ooh, so it says AB.
What we're doing is all imitating and it's a party.
So you're saying it's like as if it was a personal Purim for, let's say, Pharaoh. Let's say Pharaoh made a Purim, Rahmana, let's not if there was persecution here, and we were saved. And we made a calendar day. He's saying, since the celebration is limited to Meron, you can argue that it's not for all of Klal Yisrael. It's interesting, Sparrow, because like all the like bonfires and all the shul backyards is like, right, we're just kind of connecting to Meron. I my hunch is that it's just not formal. Like, no one thinks Lag BaOmer is like a holiday. Right? I feel like it's a minhag. It's not a holiday. Like, you know, that's why they like sauce them to
even more. If had Sphira been an Easter to make a wedding,
yeah,
then it would have been a problem to say we could make a wedding. Sphira is only a minhag not to make a wedding, so that's you could lift the minhag for Lag BaOmer.
Well, you know, we lift the minhag on Lag BaOmer more because of Tavid and Rabbi Akiva, not because of Lag BaOmer. I mean, Lag BaOmer, the whole Meiron thing is here to Shimbar Yochai. There's like the Litvish approach to Lag BaOmer and the Hasidish approach to Lag BaOmer. On a very dry Litvish level, you can argue that we're just celebrating the fact that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim stopped dying. Nothing with the bonfire. Aruch HaShulchan put the bonfire on the books. And the Chasam Sofer, I'm sure, celebrated Lag BaOmer by not saying Tachanun. but he didn't want to go to a bonfire. He didn't want to go bonfire. So I want to just conclude by saying something that we started with, that there is a celebration on Lag BaOmer. Whether you want to say, like the Pri Chadash, that we're celebrating the continuation of Torah Shabbat Peh, we want to say that we're celebrating just the fact that Talmid and Rabbi Kiva stopped dying. It's a time to appreciate the continuity of our people and the people that we are surrounded by. And we said that this parsha speaks about the Mo'adim. I just point out that there's a mitzvah, there's a big halach on Shulchan Aruch, Tav Kuf Tet Zayin. Mutter l'shloch l'chaver b'yom tov b'hei mechai v'ov afilu chayim. So if on Yom Tov I sent Robert a gift, raw meat, that's totally mutter. Because, you know what? You could cook it on Yom Tov. You could cook it. Wait a minute. But what if I know for sure that you're not going to cook it, or if you're not going to cook it on Yom Tov? It's mutter. You know why it's mutter for me to send you a present, Robert? You know why it's mutter to send me? Because on Yom Tov, I get Simcha's Yom Tov by sending you a gift. I get Simcha on Yom Tov for sending you a gift. And that's why, you know what I'm also allowed to send you on Yom Tov? I'm allowed to send you tefillin. I'm allowed to send you tefillin? What do you mean I'm allowed to send you tefillin? You don't wear tefillin on Yom Tov. Says Shulchan Aruch, you can send people gifts on Yom Tov, even tefillin. Why in the blazes is mutter for me to send you tefillin? Says in the Mishabura, over here in Sivkat and Yud Beis, Kevan shunena v'sameach l'mashem mishalech doronus l'chaveiro harez et zorech simchus Yom Tov. Included in Simchas Yom Tov is camaraderie. Kind of like Mishloach Manos, sending someone a gift on Yom Tov, saying, I care about you, I love you, I want to just let you know I'm thinking about you. That's Simchas Yom Tov. And the whole idea of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim stop dying is a wake-up call to start celebrating the people who we have left. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai represented that exact message. When he got out of the cave the second time, right, what he learned is that you have to just appreciate every Jew for wherever they are holding, whether they are close in their Torah observance or they're just on their own low madrega, you have to just appreciate every Jew. And I guess that is what we're really celebrating around this time of year, just to be surrounded by another Jew, be able to say gedantif to another Jew, and maybe even to go out of our way to express our appreciation for another Jew. Maybe that's the message from Lag BaOmer. And that should enhance our Simchas Yom Tov. So, Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be zocheh to be in the same room, indoors, unmasked, in Meiron, Yerushalayim, or even in Fairlawn, New Jersey, in the near future, Be'ezus Hashem. All right, my friends, have a Shavua Tov, and a Freilich, and a Kisas Yom Tov, Lag BaOmer. All right.